From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in 2 John and verse 2. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Once let the truth of God obtain an entrance into the human heart and subdue the whole man unto itself, no power, human or infernal, can dislodge it. We entertain it not as a guest, but as the master of the house. This is a Christian necessity. He is no Christian who does not thus believe. Those who feel the vital power of the gospel and know the might of the Holy Ghost as he opens, applies, and seals the Lord's word would sooner be torn to pieces than to be rent away from the gospel of their salvation. What a thousand mercies are wrapped up in the assurance that the truth will be with us forever, will be our living support, our dying comfort, our rising song, our eternal glory. This is Christian privilege. Without it, our faith were little worth. Some truths we outgrow and leave behind, for they are but rudiments and lessons for beginners. But we cannot thus deal with divine truth, for though it is sweet food for babes, it is in the highest sense strong meat for men. The truth that we are sinners is painfully with us to humble and to make us watchful. The more blessed truth, that whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus shall be saved, abides with us as our hope and joy. Experience, so far from loosening our hold on the doctrines of grace, has knit us to them more and more firmly. Our grounds and motives for believing are now more strong, more numerous than ever, and we have reason to expect that it will be so, till in death we clasp the Savior in our arms. Wherever this abiding love of truth can be discovered, we are bound to exercise our love. No narrow circle can contain our gracious sympathies. Wide as the election of grace must be our communion of heart. Much of error may be mingled with truth received. Let us war with the error, but still love the brother for the measure of truth which we see in him. Above all, let us love and spread the truth ourselves.
Here am I, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Unto thee willingly, yielded I come. Show the path that I must walk. Compel me then to go. And if I stray, show me the narrow way. For here am I, send me, I pray. Send me to be what's created in me. For in your image I stand. Into your power, power.
One of the hallmarks of Protestant Christianity is its tradition of singing. Just as the worship in the Old Testament was characterized by song, so the people of God down through the ages have been a singing people. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a CD entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise that contains nearly an hour of the great hymns of the church performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. The CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns will conclude a message dealing with the restraining influence of the Holy Spirit, part of this series on the doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. As we've seen, mankind is depraved from birth and capable of the most heinous acts of wickedness and violence. Yet because of God's common grace, the Holy Spirit keeps even the vilest of men back from the full expression of their depravity. As Dr. Cairns is pointing out from Scripture, the Holy Spirit will not continue his restraining influence forever. The world has yet to see the unthinkable abyss of wickedness that will occur when the Spirit ceases to exercise his restraints. As he brings this message to a close, Dr. Cairns warns individual sinners of the awful consequences of resisting the Holy Spirit. Now, to conclude this message, here is Dr. Cairns.
British television, I don't know if it's been done on United States television, but British television has a documentary that comes from various parts of the world, and they showed in these churches the actual so-called marriage ceremonies between sodomite males and other marriages with sodomite females. Methodist churches. I wonder what John Wesley would have to say about that. It's a long way from Wesley's doctrine of sinless perfection, isn't it? A long way. That's how we're to explain it, though. Apostasy, resisting the Holy Ghost. That's what's happening in the land. That's what's happening in the churches. But let's bring it down to a personal level, for it has a very powerful personal message for every sinner. We bring it down onto a one-on-one basis, and you have the picture of a man totally depraved, and the Holy Ghost restraining the expression of his sin. And as Jacob wrestled against God in another context entirely, so you would have sinners striving against the Holy Ghost, trying to kick over the traces. You remember the Lord said to Saul of Tarsus, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. That's what sinners are forever doing, kicking against the Lord. Now let me tell you what it means if you're in this meeting unsaved. It means this. That you can only go on in sin by being the enemy of God and by making the Holy Ghost your personal foe. Now this is the real meaning of the battles that go on in the consciences of men and women. That's the real meaning of the battle that goes on when you hear the preaching of the Word of God, where God is placing His Spirit's gracious restraining hand upon you, and yet you fight against them, striving against the Holy Ghost. You know, I think that there's a little bit of this old-fashioned theology that needs to get home in all our churches today. We hear of conflicts between young people and their parents, and churches have devised all sorts of psychological frameworks in which to deal with these things. I want to tell you, both the parents and the children should be found at the feet of the Lord to make sure that they are not striving against the Holy Ghost. Remember this. The Spirit of God does cause restraint. Men resist it. And that's a serious thing, for the final thing that our text teaches is this. That the Holy Spirit will not continue His restraining hand forever. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Now this is true in a general sense. This is true for the world. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You get into some very disputed territory here. And I'll give you both sides of the argument. Then tell you what she's right. But that's beside the point. Actually, verse 6 says, now ye know what withholdeth. The word withholdeth is holds down or suppresses or restrains. Now you know what withholdeth. That he might be revealed in his time. The he being revealed is the Antichrist, the son of perdition. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Paul saying that anti-Christianity as a system, as an influence, is already at work. Though the final Antichrist has yet to be revealed. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth or hindereth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, the usual explanation of verse 7 is, as it appears in the Authorized Version, that the Holy Spirit will continue to hinder the revelation of sin and Antichrist until he is taken out of the way. Those who believe in an any moment pre-tribulation secret rapture believe that this is the removal of the Holy Spirit from the earth. Those who don't believe that may still say that it means the Holy Spirit is removing his influence. He's taking away his restraint. He's getting out of the way. Actually, I think they're both wrong. Because there is nothing in the text whatsoever to speak of removal. That is personal removal. Until he be taken out of the way. There is no taken in the Greek text. In fact, the word that is so translated means the very opposite. It means to come to pass. It means to come to be, to become, to arise, or you may translate it in a variety of ways, but never any place in the New Testament does it ever bear the idea of taking. Never once. Out of the way can be the word way, or simply, more scripturally, the word midst. I believe this is Antichrist arising out of the midst. Now, what does it say? The Holy Spirit of God is going to restrain until the time comes to allow this man of sin to be revealed. And the next verse says, then he shall be revealed, fully revealed, when the Holy Spirit takes away the restraint. Now, really, I'm not particularly worried what you believe regarding the prophetic import of the taking out of the way. It all boils down to this, whatever your view, that the Holy Spirit of God is restraining sin in the world, but he's not going to do it forever. He's not going to do it forever. The nations that are kicking against the Lord, well, one day he's going to remove the traces, and they need to kick no more. Those who are seeking to overthrow the restraining work of the Holy Spirit, they will see a day when the Holy Spirit will remove his restraints. And what a day that is going to be. The Apostle John took it up when he spoke of this in the book of the Revelation. And he said concerning those days when the Holy Spirit's restraint will be taken away, that man will seek death, and they won't be able to find it. Such will be the fury and the filth of all the Satanism and wickedness that's let loose in the earth, that men afflicted, they will seek death, but they won't be able to find it. There'll be plagues, because God, who holds back sin, holds back the judgment on sin, the fury of the wrath on sin. But soon that will be taken away. I want to tell you, people who talk about this world getting better, I think they need to go to their Bible again. I read a book by a very eminent theologian, a man whom I greatly admire in many other ways. And to establish his particular and peculiar view of prophecy, he said, we have got to see that the world is really getting better. And he spends some time to show us how the world today is better than it was some years ago. I tell you this, the Spirit of God says he's not going to restrain forever. And there will come a time when he will stop restraining. And then evil will have its flow among the ungodly in a way they have never dreamed. The world's not getting better. It's going down. and it will get worse. Evil men will wax worse and worse. Let me just interject, for I don't want to leave it on that particular note. The Church of Jesus Christ, conversely, will become purer and purer. The Church of Jesus Christ will become stronger and stronger. If you want proof of that, you will find, I'm not saying that she will be in every decade numerically stronger. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that God's true church, as we hurtle toward the end of the age, will be led out to be closer than ever to her Lord. And if you want proof of that, in the very darkest day of this world's history, when the man of sin has been revealed, it's then that the great multitude that no man can number will be saved out of every tribe, tongue, kindred, and nation. It's then that God's witnesses will walk the earth. It's then that they will consume the enemy with the fire from their mouth. It's then that God will give his church in itself, though surrounded by the most wicked expressions of human depravity, he will give it in itself the greatest exhibition of his power, as he does for them what he did for Israel and Egypt of old. He'll put a redemption between his church and the world. Here you've got it then. Evil men waxing worse and worse, but God's church in it all, maintained by the fire and power of the very Spirit that the world has spurned. This restraint of the Holy Ghost being removed is true also on a personal level. This is a very serious thing for every sinner to have to take account of today. Let me read you a verse from Psalm number 81. He's speaking of the children of Israel, and he says, "My people would not hearken unto my voice, Israel would none of me. So I give them up to their own heart's lusts. They would not hearken. So I give them up." Romans 1:26. God give them up. God give them up. What a tragedy when God gives a nation up. Now you can see why a few minutes ago I said that I would pray that God would visit plagues upon sodomy. Because I tell you, when he stops doing that, the evidence is that he has just given them up. And when God gives a nation up, its troubles are only beginning. What a tragedy when God gives a man up. There are restraints there. My friend, be careful of kicking them over. Right? Every one of us has kicked over the traces. Every one of us, to some degree, has resisted the Holy Ghost. There's never been a man that hasn't. Every one of us, to some great degree, has gone on in defiance of God. But today he puts the barrier before you. Be very, very careful of going on. Be not as the horse or the mule, stubborn in the extreme. For God could remove the bit and the bridle and just let you go. If you are still unsaved, there is a cry that should be in your heart. There's a cry that should be in your lips. Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Lord, remove not the restraints of the Spirit. Lord, remove not the strivings of the Spirit of God. I said right at the beginning that very often the workings of God, the Holy Spirit, in this area of common grace form the platform upon which he works further to apply the work of Christ. God has kept you back to where you are today. Had he not kept you back, you would have been in hell. God has kept you back. He has restrained the wrath of God. And now in his mercy he comes and he presents Jesus Christ to you, freely offered in the gospel. You should cry to him today to give you grace to close with Christ. You should cry to him today to save you. And thank God, when you come to Christ for salvation, you will be received. And you will never be given up by the Holy Spirit. May God bless his word to all our hearts. If you're not saved, may God stamp the urgency upon you today of coming to Christ and receiving him as personal Savior.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.